tell me a little bit about, you know, wanting to do this film. Obviously, the opioid problem, particularly heroin, has been a big problem around Huntington for a long time. I mean, what specific moment, what specific incident happened that you said, I need to go make a film about this in this place?
I felt like every time I would come home and open the newspaper or go on Facebook, I would see another familiar mugshot or obituary. And it wasn't about Huntington and Huntington's drug problem. It was just the fact that everyone I knew from middle school and high school was dropping like flies, it felt like. And I just wanted to try to find a more hopeful side of that story. You know, there's no clear solution, but these three women are working towards their own small solutions that I think are really admirable.
You did mention the three different women. I want to start off by talking a little bit about Jan Rader. She's the fire chief there in Huntington. And when you watch the film, you get a really good sense about what kind of person she is. Describe for me, you know, for the listeners out there, like who she is and what it is about her that makes what she's doing so special.
Well, in the film, Jan says, you know, I'm a medic, I'm a nurse, I'm built for this. She literally has the ability to help people in her DNA. She's just an incredible human with the capacity to care for people I've never really met in a public official before. She's very funny. She's the only woman on an all-male fireman squad. And so she's, you know, she's very brave. And I just admire Jan a lot. I think she keeps her cool in the most crazy situations. You know, when we were filming, I just would sort of keep focus on her because she would keep me chilled out a bit, because there were some intense moments that if I focused on the other things going around, it would be a little bit too much for me because I'm not used to those situations. But she just goes into an emergency and fixes things. And it's just, she's just an incredible West Virginian and an incredible woman that I just admire more than a lot of the people that I have documented throughout the years I've fallen in love with. But I feel like Jan Rader is number one of someone that I hope keep in touch with for the rest of my life.
And like you said, some of these moments that they find themselves in are very intense. And what I want to do is we'll throw to a clip here, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about it.
Okay. Do you know, is he a known user?
Well, this is the second time this week he's OD'd.
Third floor, on the left, all the way down, the door's open.
Okay. Fire department. Or... Hi, buddy.
So in the scene, this guy is overdosed. He's behind the bathroom door. Describe what it's like to be there. As a filmmaker, as a reporter, journalist, you know, an observer even, what it's like to experience that.
Yeah. Well, my husband and I made this film, and there were times where, you know, we knew Huntington had 6 to 7 overdoses every day, and the fire department was calling us the white cats because when we would come to town, there would be no overdoses. And we literally spent the night overnight at fire departments to see if we could catch something, and it all felt very voyeuristic and strange at first, and I really questioned why we were doing it. Right. Why would we follow these people in that are trying to do their job, potentially get in their way? But you know, that was a conversation I had with Jan, and she's like, you know, you're doing your job too, and you showing this could help others. And she really believed that, and so that helped me sort of get over the anxiety. But it still is the scariest thing I've ever experienced. When running up with Jan, you know, when she was alone, getting that guy off the back of the door, she's completely alone in that apartment, walking into a situation. We have no clue what we're walking into. I'm the only one with her there. Kern was gone that day, actually. And, you know, a tiny woman like Jan can fit and squeeze in between that door, that bathroom door. But, you know, if they would have been 3 minutes late and waited for someone else to show up, that guy could have died. And it was just, you just realize how close to death so many people come to. And you have 6 to 7 of those every day in Huntington. Like, I don't know. It's a great privilege to be able to witness something like that, but I don't take it lightly. And that's one of the reasons why we spoke to everyone after they came to after their overdose and got their consent to use it, but then even still continue to blur faces, because that's someone's brother, that's someone's dad. And it's traumatic enough to wake up and see EMS around you, let alone a camera. And to think of your worst moment being documented, We just wanted to make sure that we were not exploiting anyone and that the trust of the fire department and first responders wouldn't be hurt by us standing over top of them.
I want to switch gears here for a little bit and talk about two of the other women that are sort of profiled in this. Nisha Freeman is with Brown Bag Ministries. You know, I guess it could be said that Jan Rader is sort of the very first responder because she, you know, very much literally is. Nisha, I think, would sort of be like one of the sort of secondary sort of responders in a way, and not in a official way. She doesn't, you know, this Brown Bag Ministries is sort of just a nonprofit, I guess.
You're right. It's through her church, Lewis Memorial Baptist Church.
So tell me a little bit about spending time on that side of it and trying to like help people, you know, after their lives have been saved by someone like Jan.
Right. Well, Jan is part of the fire department. She gets up. It's her job to go. Nisha is a real estate agent, a single mom, just a very dynamic. She calls herself a church lady, dynamic church lady, who spends her evenings going out and helping women that she knows are trapped into sex work because of their drug habit, and gives them food and tries to get them into rehab. And it's definitely a thankless job that Nisha does. She's not paid for her work. She receives no recognition. She does it out of the goodness of her heart. She does it because she believes that's something God wants her to do. She does it from a Christian perspective, which is very different than what Judge Keller and Jan Rader do. So the three women together all play very different roles at different ends of the spectrum of addiction. Nisha's working with women who are currently trapped in that cycle and trying to get them out, specifically targeting women. And what's interesting is that some of those women actually get into Judge Keller's drug court. So the three women actually work together through the drug court treatment team in Cabell County, which is one of the most amazing. I haven't experienced drug court outside of Huntington in Cabell County, but what an incredible program they have going on there. And it's a volunteer position. Judge Keller doesn't even get paid to be the drug court judge.
Wow.
She's a family court judge. And so it's just the three women were just an obvious, they had a great obvious dynamic that would make for just energizing and hopeful 40-minute film.
Right. Well, and you use that word hopeful. I mean, I'm curious. I mean, you were there, and I spent a lot of time in Huntington. I lived there for 8 years. And it's really interesting to me because it's a story that you keep hearing about again and again and again. And, I mean, I know personally that very recently some people that I used to hang out with have overdosed, and they're dead. And it seems like that the impact of this just keeps stretching further and further out. Is there a sense that this is ever going to get any better? Because, I mean, I think you all the women that you profiled in this film are working very diligently and very passionately in this area. But even they seem to have this, like, bit of exhaustion about the whole thing. I mean, they're dedicated to it, but is there any hope that this is going to improve? Or
I mean, I'm concerned for them long term. You know, I don't know what the end of this is, and it's actually getting worse, you know. It's not getting better. Carfentanil, fentanyl is making it harder to bring people back from overdoses. It's not just heroin anymore. So I don't know that we necessarily see a light at the end of the tunnel, but if we have more people like these three women being empathetic and caring and helping the people that are trapped in addiction, help them get into rehabs, help them find something that brings them fulfillment. And, you know, I think in West Virginia, like, we have this economic situation that has left a lot of people feeling unneeded. And I can't help but think that drugs are only, you know, a sort of symptom of a bigger issue. And so I don't know that we can address the drug problem in West Virginia without addressing larger social issues and economic issues we have in the state and the country, for that matter. So I don't know that there's a ending to this. I have no clue. I don't know how it will work, but we certainly could use some more detox beds and some more recovery beds. I mean, there's plenty of work to be done. There's plenty of improvements to be made, and not enough is being done.
Elaine McMillian Sheldon, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.